Today's program is brought to you by Tabard Inn, new American cuisine in one of Washington, D.C.'s oldest hotels, located in DuPont Circle. For more information, visit tabardinn.com.
My name is Hannah Forden. I'm the membership coordinator at Heritage Radio Network, but even before I joined the team, I loved listening to HRN during my subway commute. It made the time go quickly and left me feeling inspired for the day ahead. HRN listeners tune in from all over the world, but there are a few traits that we all have in common, no matter where we listen from: a curious palate, the fierceness to make a difference, and a hunger for lifelong learning about the culinary world. As you know, Heritage Radio Network is a listener-supported nonprofit. To deliver the most ambitious, entertaining, and of-the-moment stories in 2018, we need your help. We need to raise $150,000 by December 31st to accomplish these goals and to keep your favorite shows on the air. Together, we can make this HRN's most exciting, impactful, and delicious year yet. No matter how much you choose to give, you'll feel awesome next time you tune in, knowing that we wouldn't be here without you. Become a member by donating today. Join us at heritageradionetwork.org/donate, and you'll immediately start enjoying benefits such as VIP invitations to HRN events, where you will mix and mingle with your favorite hosts. Plus, we have great member swag. Show off your HRN pride with a t-shirt, or keep your hands safe in the kitchen with an HRN pot holder. Memberships also make a perfect holiday gift for all the foodies in your life. This year, why not give the gift of food radio? You'll hear your generosity in action for the year to come. Help keep our lights on and our mics hot by pledging your support today at heritageradionetwork.org/donate. Thanks for listening.
Well, hello, welcome to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Sherry Bayer, and we are coming to you from Roberta's Restaurant in Bushwick, Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
It is Wednesday, November 15th, 2017. This is the 160th episode of the series, which is dedicated to behind-the-scenes talents in the hospitality industry.
Not 159, 160.
You're 160.
All right, I like it.
And that is my guest today, one of the most sought-out MCs in the biz, who I will fully introduce in a moment.
All right.
People out there, you can guess who it is. First, I'm going to start out, as I always do, with my PR tip, and then later we have my speed round game, industry news discussion, solo dining experience, and the final question. So as the founder of Bayer Public Relations, I'm going to tip the show off with my PR tip of the week. Today's tip is to be relentless. Go after what you want with a passion. Stand for what you believe in and what you know is right, and don't let anyone say no to your yes. The world can be tough, but so can you. Be strong and fierce, and never give up on your desires and dreams, as you deserve them as much as anyone else. That's my tip today.
It's a good tip.
Thank you. I was thinking relentless. Good tip.
Mm-hmm.
So that voice is...
What about that voice?
It's a great voice.
I should have a radio show on Heritage Radio.
You should if you had time, but you have a lot going on. And that is, my guest is Billy Harris, who is one of the most sought-out MCs, known for his award-winning video series, Hanging with Harris.
That is me.
And he also is in New York City right now as he's been doing this amazing dinner series with top chefs, and it's benefiting No Kid Hungry.
Sure is.
And I read in his bio that he is the cousin of vaudeville great Georgie Jessel.
Jessel. Named my daughter after him.
Which I want to find out more about. And you've been performing your entire life.
Forever.
Apparently at the tender age of 5 and a half, you understood what working a room was.
I did. In a very young room.
So welcome, Billy.
Very young age. Thanks, Sherry. How are you?
I'm good.
I love your studio here.
Thank you. You like what I did?
I do. I feel like it's a. I feel like it's on a Weekend Update, and it's like Stefan, right? New York's latest nightclub is Roberta's, next to a meatpacking factory and a cement dump, whatever.
Totally.
And we have the radio show.
Yes, we do.
Great to be here. Glad to be number 160. I feel very, very special.
You know, you were on a previous episode of my Pebble Beach Food and Wine.
Was that 151 or that was
It was like probably like 138. You made it then.
All right, made the cut.
But you know, you're in LA and we needed to get you. I mean, we could have done it by phone.
Yeah, but this is better.
But this is, you're here, much better. We're now, and I'm honored to have you on my show.
It's my absolute
And I feel
pleasure.
I'm like, I needed, I should have had another coffee before we started.
I did have a shot before I came in here. So
I'm
good.
Like, no, that's not fair. I'm
ahead of the game.
I remember from Pebble Beach, you interviewed me more than I interviewed you.
That's very true. I'm like, hang on, let me borrow your microphone.
Let me see if I can get some questions out there.
Absolutely.
What happened at age 5 and a half that you figured out you could work a room?
Yeah, you know what? I think I literally came out with a microphone and a cigar. I come from, if we're going to go down that road, I actually come from a long line of vaudevillians all on my father's side. Grandmother, all her 9 brothers and sisters, my Aunt Katie danced at the Texaco Star Theater for Milton Berle. Obviously a cousin of, we're all way too young unless it was in your family, of the great Georgie Jessel, who was a very, very famous vaudevillian in the 20s and 30s. He also started the Friars Club in Los Angeles, was best of friends with George Burns and Al Jolson, so this is way back, was married to Norma Talmadge, the silent film star, but do come from... Had great uncles, all my grandmother's brothers and sisters, who one was, you know, stand up in the Catskills, and they all worked in Atlantic City, and one was in a big band, and my Aunt Katie toured with, you know, was, as I said, a dancer with Milton Berle at the Texaco Star Theater. And Dad's very funny, most people in the family are funny, and just kind of born with shtick in my mouth, so to say, so...
Yeah, so how did you turn that into a career? Like, what? Where'd you go to college?
I was total kid actor, you know, sarcastic, wise ass. Nothing's really changed in the past almost 50 years, I guess. Theater background, theater kid, went to college for theater in San Francisco. My first, I guess, technical show would have been in 1979 or 80, I was a magician's assistant at Grossinger's in the Catskills.
Okay.
So that's in the DNA. I even did a little magic act for a while as well because I loved Penn and Teller. And I was like, once I did a little research and Orson Welles started off as a magician, Steve Martin, Johnny Carson, I just found it funny and just kind of rolled it into my shtick that I was doing. And you know what? At a very young age, I guess I was about maybe 19 or 20, I was doing a little stand-up. I was working on cruise ships, you know, theater background. And I got paid $1,000 to do a corporate event in Las Vegas and was hired by a meeting planner for a sales meeting for Microsoft. And at the time, I didn't know what a corporate gig was. I didn't know what a meeting planner was. I didn't know what a sales meeting was. It was a president's club, something like that. You know, but they hired me to, because I was referred by a friend, to be the MC and give out the awards. They flew me to Las Vegas, gave me a plane ticket, stayed in Caesar's Palace. It was in the Emperor's Ballroom, to be exact. And, you know, I had friends and everyone that was doing stand-up. They were making $50, $100. So this was really like, wait a minute. This is like a thing. This is a business. There's these events, these corporate events. So I very quickly, because I loved what I was doing, and it's always just a matter of how do you turn that and find that into a way to make a living. So I very, very quickly... you know, through the School of Hard Knocks, you know, started reaching out to meeting planners and event planners. I'm like, hey, I'm this funny comedian guy and I host meetings. And I very, very quickly got into that event space. And, you know, to this day, I still have clients that I've been working with for 25 years when I'm doing stuff outside of culinary and food and fundraising that we will obviously get into as well.
Yeah, let's get into it. How did you get into the food world?
Yeah, since my whole life is consumed with food world now. Well, it's very funny, and this will all, you know, come back around and make some sort of point since we are on dinner number 10 out of an 11-night dinner series in New York City. And last Monday was our big event at Del Posto with Mario Batali, and we had about 170 people down in the wine room, and it was hands down our largest event because Mario is Mario. And, you know, when I give the evening spiel of why we're all here and before I talk about No Kid Hungry, I really talked about that 25 years ago, this April in 1993, I walked down Cornelia Street and went into this dump called Poe. And I had mutual friends that were friends and worked with Mario. And I met Mario. I had just moved back to New York from San Francisco. And it was right before Malta Mario and the Food Network. And I really knew nothing about food and no one in the industry at all, except my friend, and you might know, Tony Abuganim out of Las Vegas.
Oh, sure.
So I've known Tony since I'll be 49. I've known Tony since I've been 19. And he knew Mario in a past life when Mario used to cook. How about this one? I think at the Four Seasons in San Francisco.
Tony's been on my show.
And Tony's been on the show. There you go. So Tony worked, how about a little insight? He opened up Poe with Mario and ran the little four-seat bar. So I've been friends, and I talked about this the other night, Mario and I, 25 years. And, you know, I started working with Mario a little bit and doing food events and hosting other food events. And obviously, literally 25 years later, 6 degrees of separation. I guarantee I know, you know, we've known each other for over 10 years and met through all these culinary events. Mm-hmm. And whatever event our first meeting was at, I could tell you right now, it's because someone who knew someone because I knew Mario. So for me, it's not 6 degrees of separation. It's really one.
Wow.
Literally. Yeah. And that is the story. And there's so many other segues of that because I could tell you in 1998, so it'll be almost 20 years ago, on my wife and I's first date, I took her to see Mario do a cooking demo at the Santa Monica Pier. I figured, hey, I can impress this girl. I know one chef, right, from New York. I'm like, have you ever seen Malta Mario on the Food Network? So I took at the time Sharon to meet Mario, did the cooking demo. And then after that, we all went to the opening night of Luke's in Los Angeles. And Suzanne Goen and Carolyn Stein and myself have been friends for 20 years as well. And on the second night, Mario took me and we went to dinner with Mary Sue and Susan Finnegar at the Border Grill. And
two hot tamales.
Joe Allegro from the Food Network produced those events at the time because he was over at the Food Network producing their live events before he went to No Kid Hungry, and then he took me to No Kid Hungry, and that is this kind of magical path.
And Joe, I was a very early guest. I shot one of my pilots for this episode, for this show with Joe. So
he's
everything
great.
It ties together.
Yeah. 100%. I mean, that's a crazy synergy, but because of, you know, then I can also thank my friend whose wedding I met my wife at a wedding, and she caught the flowers, and I caught the garter. And 2 weeks later, I took her to meet Mario, and through that, I met Joe, and then Suzanne, and Carolyn, and Mary Sue, and Susan all in the same week. And then we got married a year later, so that worked out.
Yeah, but it's amazing to me. It's not only that you've met these people, but you've turned them into long-term relationships and your business.
Yeah, personally, professionally, on multiple levels. Like, you know, now you look at it and our kids play together and they go to birthday parties. And
it
kind of really started there. And then it really changed for me with my involvement with No Kid Hungry and working with Joe, because at the time I slowly, randomly, by these are such crazy stories because of the dinner series and the very first auction that I did, because a lot of people know me as this kind of culinary fundraiser at all the No Kid Hungry events and Alex's Lemonade events and Autism Speaks events and James Beard events. There's a lot of them. I've done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds.
Yeah, you're amazing.
You're
the go-to guy.
I'm the go-to guy. And people are like, you're such a great auctioneer. And to this day, I'm like, I'm definitely not an auctioneer. I'm a funny guy that knows how to work a room, which started at 5.5 years old. And there's a big difference with what I do and with all the fundraising, because that's kind of my own DNA and something that can't be hopefully duplicated. But that's talking about the auctioneering stuff. So at the dinner series with one of the dinners the other night, a girlfriend of mine from college, she showed up at the dinner with her 23-year-old son. And I met 15 or 16 years ago, they were doing a fundraiser for her son's school, and the auctioneer at the time got sick. And she called me up. She goes, you know, you're really funny. Have you ever done this? It's really last minute. And I'm like, whatever you need. I just came down there and was like, who's going to give me $2,000 for a trip to Hawaii? And, bah, bah, bah. And it was like funny and great. And it's kind of, I felt like I was doing what I always do anyway. And that literally was the first auction I did, which of course segues into when Joe went to No Kid Hungry for the Food Network. And this is such a timely conversation because it was either my second event. I think my first event with Joe, and this is probably 15 years ago, we did an event in Detroit. Now I'm forgetting which I was just going to, I had a perfect right on the tip of my tongue. It was Don Yamauchi, who's a great chef out of the Midwest, and he had a restaurant called True in Detroit. And that was our first event. But our second event was with Daniel Ballou, Cafe Ballou in Palm Beach, because every year when we would start the No Kid Hungry kind of dinner series. We started off with Danielle at Cafe Blue in Palm Beach, and that was the beginning of the culinary season in January. And I think Gavin Kaysen was a sous chef at the time. And then I really, Joe and I worked together for many, many years and now still continue to work together. And he's now over at Feed the Children, who's another fantastic organization that's in the same stratosphere, obviously, as No Kid Hungry as well.
Awesome.
I could talk for 6 hours about this. I know.
We're going to take a little break and we're going to talk more.
Yeah.
So stay with us. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network.
The following program has been brought to you by Route 11 Potato Chips. From the moment Route 11 Potato Chips dropped their first batch of chips back in the early days of 1992, they understood their destiny as a high-quality producer. Instead of succumbing to the frenzy of mass production, they took advantage of their small size and made chipping a personal art form. The payoff was immediate, an incredible potato chip. With a secret recipe and superior ingredients, their mission is to make an outstanding product in a safe and clean environment. In this world of uncertainty that we live in, Route 11 Potato Chips believes comfort food should be just that. Know where your food comes from. For more information, visit RT11.com.
And we're back.
We
are back. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. My guest today is Billy Harris. I'm hanging with Harris.
You are literally hanging with Harris, which of course is the web series. So.
Yeah, so let's talk about the web series a bit. When did you start that, and are you still doing it? And you just travel around the world, and you pick some chefs you like, and
something
you talk
like
to them,
that.
And you make pasta.
And I'm like, hey, look, here's my film crew. Let's film something. You know what? That's just you do this stuff long enough, and it's really a piece of. To be cliche, you'd be like, it's very on brand. It's part of very much everything that I do. Obviously over the past 10 years, as so many things moved from TV to the small screen to our iPhones, I partnered up with an amazing production company, Small Screen Networks, out of Seattle, and they host a ton of spirit shows and other culinary shows, and they have a great team out there. And we were, at the time, I think, so this is, I'm going to say 7 years ago, maybe it's 10 years ago, I don't even know. But we were supposed to film something else, and then it was it was 2008, so it'll be 10 years ago, because then all the money went away as the market tanked and the sponsorships at the time. And it was going to be like it was kind of towards the beginning of Top Chef, and they wanted to do basically a Top Chef online version thing, and that didn't work out. Jump cut a few months after that in 2008, we were at Aspen Food and Wine, and it was always like, hey, too bad that thing didn't work out, we should film some stuff anyway. And Charlotte Voisey, who you know, the great spirits ambassador from William Grant & Sons, who I will see tonight because they sponsor the whole dinner series. Look at that plug for William Grant & Sons. They should be paying for the show, sure.
Yes.
And all their amazing portfolio of Hendrix Gin and Milagro Tequila and Glenfiddich Scotch. So, and Reika Vodka. Hi, Charlotte, if you're listening right on today. Charlotte and I went up the gondola in Aspen with their film crew. And I was like, hey, I'm Billy Harris. And she goes, I'm Charlotte Voisey. And she's the one who said, and we're hanging with Harris.
Ah.
And so I'm going to give credit where it's due.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, I always thought I said it. And we kind of watched the video. She said it. And we're like, write that down. And we did a little funny 2 minutes of shtick. And she would pull out of a cocktail shaker and then some ice. And then she ended up making a margarita. And we shot this, and it's actually on. If you go.
Oh, I need to watch. Gondola ride is, it's a good. How long is it? A good 10 minutes?
Yeah, or longer as you're kind of fear for your life for a little bit. And it's like, let's have cocktails. And so we filmed that first one, and it was always like, you know what? That was really great. That was a lot of fun. And then it was very quickly like, we think we have something here. So first it was, take out your phone and start texting people and who do I know? And let's get a small film crew together and film some stuff. And then what we did, and it kind of really segues back to some of the corporate events, and then when I would be on the road doing some other video thing in Chicago for a sales meeting or something like that, I would bring my film crew with me, and then we're like, hey, well, let's film with Paul Kahn and Donnie Medea and go down the line of everyone in Chicago. Or we're in New York, and let's film with Waxman and Scott Conant, and we kind of always kind of daisy-chain them together. And, jump cut 10 years later, there's, I think, 136 episodes in the can. And there's still about 10, 12 from the past year that we shot with Michael Voltaggio, Duff Goldman, Ben Ford, Brooke Williamson, Howlin' Ray's Hot Chicken, that we shot in this past spring in L.A. and a little bit to coincide with the dinner series, because as you can see, it's all connected, and because Michael and Duff and Bruce Kalman all hosted, you know, Billy Harris dinners as part of the dinner series in Los Angeles in the spring, and we did 15 of those, which segues into the 11 that we're doing here in New York. So,
are you planning to make this dinner series into like an annual event? Maybe do it next year?
Yeah, another great question. So, and also like to be just very on brand in everything that we're doing and working with No Kid Hungry so long and all these organizations. Mm-hmm. And really, it's kind of two things. I was like, well, I've been working with these chefs for 20 years, you know, hosting all these culinary events. And on the right hand side, you know, hosting all these black tie galas for No Kid Hungry and AIDS and autism and breast cancer and go down the line that I've been involved with. And I literally woke up, and I think from all the food and wine festivals that you and I are always at, and I was talking to all the people from Open Table and Table 8, and I was like, but it was just kind of, it literally was very organic. I'm like, I should just turn this into like a dinner event. Like, I know everyone, and we can fundraise, and I can get a chef on board. And it came together, and I partnered up with Paul Vitagliano, who's my executive producer, and I'm just the pretty face. He runs the whole thing, and we're like, we're going to do a dinner series. And we ended up with, the original plan was to do 8 in Los Angeles, and then at the same time, and, you know, we got Nancy Silverton on board right away, and Bruce Kalman on board, and Suzanne Going, and I reached out to all my friends, and I was like, I'm going to sell tickets, and I think I could sell out your restaurant, and we're just going to eat and drink and have a good time. But I was like, this won't work unless there's a fundraising component. So when we started in the spring, it was, you know, I work with Alex's Lemonade a lot. I'm like, well, we'll do a little auction. We'll get some auction partners. Let's raise some money. And at the end of the day of the dinner series in LA, we raised about $50,000 charity-wise, which we gave to No Kid Hungry and Alex's Lemonade and the James Beard Foundation and Charlie Trotter's Foundation and Piggy Bank, which is the Koshan 555.
Right.
For small family farmers and sustainable farming. So all great, great organizations, because I'm just involved with so many people, and it was a matter of kind of cracking the code and putting it all together, right? And I'm kind of, I feel like I'm the man behind the curtain who took a little piece of this and took a little piece of that, a little piece of this, and partnered up with Paul because we needed someone really great to execute all this because it's a year's worth of work. And then at the same time, it was a really another great opportunity. The LA Times launched this whole crazy food bowl thing, which was 30 days, and it was Jonathan Gold's kind of brainchild, so to say. And we were doing our dinners, and we met up with them, and they're like, hey, can you add on 20 more dinners? I'm like, well, I don't think I could add on 20 more, but we ended up adding on about 6 more in partnership with the LA Times. And so then we added on, well, let's do a dinner with Neil Frazier and Timothy Hollingsworth and Josiah Citrin, and who am I leaving out? I mean, we did a dinner with Michael Cimarusti, with Jason Neroni, you know, all LA-based, all great chefs. And we ended up doing 15 in Los Angeles, and it really was a sold-out success, and we raised great money for these great organizations. And like I said, people got to eat, they got to drink, and it brings a lot of awareness if people aren't familiar with Alex's Lemonade or No Kid Hungry James Beard Foundation. So it's a really, it's a win-win. There was no loss for anyone with the event. And then kind of the segue to that is, it was the end of June, and we even threw a wrap party with Nancy Silverton after the 14, because being the queen of Los Angeles and who she is, that sold out in about 30 seconds. And it was so good, and it was like, let's just throw a wrap party, no auction, no fundraising. And we had that at Kiesbacca, Nancy Steakhouse in LA, and you know, it sold out in hours, you know, to have dinner with Nancy there. And so now it was the end of June, and it was a little bit like, this was great, let's keep it going. And the only place I was going to was New York next. Mm-hmm. And it was the end of June, and I'm like, if we're going to do this in the fall, we got to make a decision right now. So then I started reaching out to, obviously, I was like, all right, who do I know? Who's available? When can you do this? And then you're like,
who don't you know?
Who don't I know, right? So then it was like, well, we don't want to do it in December because the weather can really change. And then it really started with Barbudo and Waxman, and everyone knows I love everything about there. And the first phone call was to Jen Davidson because I wanted to have the event at Barbudo. And she's like, well, you can't do it when the doors are open because, you know, we're too busy. So she goes, after like October 20th when the doors are closed, and originally we were supposed to start on the 30th of October, which was Monday, October 30th, and then at the same time I ended up getting hired to host the Michelin Awards, and then I called, I'm like, well, I got to do this Michelin gig at the Ziegfeld Theater. So I called Jonathan Beck and Jen Beck. I'm like, you want to throw a Halloween party? And they're like, sure, let's throw a Halloween party. So the New York series started on Halloween, and obviously it's dinner number 10 tonight, and since people were listening, we first dinner was with Jonathan Waxman at Barbudo, and then Jamie Bissonette at Toro, and then Ann Burrell at Phil and Ann's Good Time Lounge in Brooklyn. That was number three. And then Justin Smiley at Upland was number four. And Mario Batali at Del Posto was number five. Joey Campanero at the Little Owl, their brand new townhouse, was number six. This past Sunday, we were with Marcus Glocker and John Winterman at Batard. Monday night, we were with Mark Murphy at Landmark. Last night, we were at the James Beard House. We brought in Vartan Abgarian from 71 Above in downtown Los Angeles for a sold-out night at the Beard House. He made his James Beard debut. I feel I'm still a little hungover from last night. And then tonight, it's the one and only Scott Conant, which is a really special private event for No Kid Hungry in particular tonight. And a lot of their great partners and donors and sponsors are all coming together in Scott's private loft. So that's tonight. And then we wrap it all up tomorrow night with Alex Wanicelli at Butter in Midtown. And your first question like 20 minutes ago...
What was that?
Was, are you going to do this again? Well, we actually start... We do start Tuesday, January 30th in Los Angeles.
Okay. And you already got a date.
Well, we do. In L.A., there'll be... It starts with Nancy Silverton, and then it goes to Zach Pollock at Cosa Bono, and then it goes to Roy Choi at Commissary. John and Vinny are on the roster. Sarah and Sarah on the roster. Evan Funky's in June. Curtis Stone. And then April Bloomfield, Adam Perry Lang, and Chris Bianco are all opening new spots in Los Angeles. So those will all be next fall, along with Walter Manscape Republic, and then hopefully Ludo. We spoke with Ludo last week. But that's just the 12 in L.A., and then the plan is going to be, that's going to be our base, and then we'll probably do another 10 to 20 around the country. And I could say right now, and everyone will know about this real soon, the first two in the spring outside of New York will be with Daniel Ballou at Danielle and Thomas Keller at Per Se. And those will benefit the Beau Cousteau Mentor Program.
I've had so many thoughts with you. First of all, I want your memory. I don't know how you do it.
I don't know.
You're giving a great example of why you're so good at what you do.
Well, thank you.
I also just want to commend you on, I mean, everything you're naming and everything you haven't named.
Yeah.
You have raised so much
millions and millions of dollars for amazing causes.
Yeah. And I just want to say, like, kudos to you. It's awesome.
It's awesome, and it also makes it all relevant, you know, so I can kind of walk the walk and talk the talk, but at the end of the day, I can back it all up. You know, I mean, the No Kid Hungry team, I mean, we have about 20 big galas a year and times 12 or 13 years, so I've hosted well over a couple hundred things for them and raised well over $10 million, and they're such a great organization.
So great.
And obviously to have all the chefs connected, too. I mean, who doesn't want to support childhood hunger and food insecurity? So it's so important.
It's incredible. And I have to ask you this question, though,
that I
had from my last guest.
Oh, boy.
Which, episode 159, I had on Ashley Albert, who's, if you don't know Ashley, you would get a kick out of her. She's the co-founder of Royal Palm Shuffleboard Club and of the Matza Project. She's super creative, and I went to sleepaway camp with her.
Is so the Shuffleboard Club the one that's in Brooklyn?
In Gowanus, yeah.
In Gowanus, yeah.
She's the co-founder of that. So, that's, and she's cool opening spot. One in Chicago.
Okay,
so her question is, what's the worst bomb you've had? Like, what's a flub that's happened as an auctioneer where you couldn't get the job done?
This was a question for me. This isn't better. I haven't had one. You know, listen, in the auction space, most people will tell you the most uncomfortable thing you can have is when, you know, you're at 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, and then it just stops, and then no one's bidding, and you're like, is the auctioneer sweating on stage? One of the things I pride myself in, and I think it comes from that, when people to this day are like, oh my God, that was such a great auction, this was so great, and I'm like, well, I'm not an auctioneer. I'm a funny guy with a microphone that knows how to work the room. So really one of my expertise, and I've done so many of these, is about, I like to get these done really quickly. You know, that you really have to know when you're running an auction, when to move on, when you've reached all the money in the room, you know, on a particular item. Say, so, you know, listen, some of these events I do, their auctions, the whole auction raises $50,000. Some of the events I do, the auction would do $600,000 or $700,000 or $800,000, where one item can sell for $100,000 or $125,000 if it's dinner with David Chang and Tom Colicchio in your living room, you know, those super, super ticket items. So in auctions, I've never really ever had a bomb, but I could tell you where I did bomb.
Okay.
In a big way. To go back to the comedy magic days, I used to get out of a straitjacket and dance around on stage to James Brown's Get on the Good Foot.
didn't.
Of course you did.
Of course I did. And Anne Burrell, if you're listening to this, she tied me up in a straitjacket once. But I used it, ended up using it for a fundraiser. Like, hey, how many people will give me $100 if I can get out of this thing in less than 100 minutes? And that, in 100 seconds. And then that turned into, I know this is, probably sounds like a surreal conversation, but it was a funny bit. And I thought, this could be really good as a fundraiser. And then it was like, how many people will give me $1,000 to get out of this thing? So all of a sudden, you could see where that went. So, the bombing story is, and to word this appropriately, schedule's really busy. I do a lot of these events. I may or may have not been out late at the Spotted Pig.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll just leave that at that.
Okay.
And then I got picked up the next morning and was taken to an event at we won't say the name of the place. And I was doing the thing, and everything was great. I was doing my show and the jokes and the shtick. And then I call a guy up to tie me up in the straitjacket. Da, da, da. I get out of the thing. Ta-da! Nobody's clapping. And I'm like, are my pants down? Something happened. It just didn't register in my mind that I was doing a benefit for a mental health facility.
Oh.
And that would be as bad as bombing. Yeah. As you can get. I don't think I've ever been more embarrassed in my life when it took. And there might be something to do with I was out at the Spotted Pig that night. But they were a great group, and we made it through.
And thank you for sharing your story.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's about as bombing as it gets, for sure.
Okay. Wow.
You're like, and on that note, good night, everybody.
And on that note, well, we have to take another break, and then we're going to come back. We're going to play my game. I have a speedrun game.
Let's play the speedrun game.
Okay. So thanks, stay with us.
All right.
The following program has been brought to you by Tabard Inn. Tabard Inn, Washington, D.C.'s quintessential small hotel, is located on a quiet, tree-lined street just 5 blocks from the White House. Vibrant yet unassuming, the Tabard is comprised of 40 sleeping rooms, each unique in character and design. Feast on eclectic American cuisine in their acclaimed restaurant, or enjoy a cocktail and listen to live jazz in one of their cozy Victorian seating areas. Mingle with travelers from around the world who find the Tabard the only place to stay when taking their travels to Washington. For more information, visit tabardinn.com.
Okay, we're back. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Sherry Bayer. My guest today is Billy Harris, and he's about to play my speed round game.
Speed round? I'm ready for the speed round.
You are ready. I don't know if I'm ready. I'm going to, seriously.
Oh, boy.
Okay, here we go.
Yep.
Eat in or eat out?
Eat in, because I'm on the road 200 days a year.
Yeah, a lot of travel.
So I guess I do eat out a lot, so when I'm home, I like to eat.
Got it. Wine, beer, cocktail, or mocktail?
Wow, cocktail.
Tasting menu or a la carte?
A la carte.
Small plates or large plates?
Depends upon the restaurant.
Communal table or chef's counter?
I like both of those. That's my answer on that one.
Okay. Tipping or all-inclusive charge?
Tipping all the way. Like to tip.
JFK or LAX?
I fly in one and out of the other all the time.
Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking, do you care?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. As long as I'm in a big boy seat. Thanks, Delta. Flown 2 million miles on Delta. Diamond. There you go. They'd be a good sponsor. You're like, yeah.
Help me out here. We're going to talk after the show.
Exactly.
How about wearing an all black suit or jeans and a t-shirt?
I like the all black suit.
I know you're in one right now. You're
but
always
it's velour,
in one.
And this is a little contrast. See, that's what the fashion gods said. You know, instead of the black on black, I even have shiny tux shoes that I wear with my black suits now, and everyone goes, "I love your shiny shoes." Someone said that once because I brought my tux shoes instead of my regular dress shoes, and now I just wear these.
How many black suits do you have?
4.
I was thinking,
I know you think like 40.
No, I was thinking Farmer Lee Jones, he wears his overalls everywhere. I thought he said he had like 14 pairs.
I have 4 and like 12 black shirts, okay. And then they're just kind of in rotation at the dry cleaners. But shopping for me is very easy.
Yes.
Hint, hint.
Okay, 2 more. Cheese plate or dessert?
Cheese plate. I, as much as I love dessert, I try and avoid that. I'm sure it's the exact same amount of calories, but it makes your brain feel better.
Okay. And Manhattan, Brooklyn, or Los Angeles?
Wow, I've been in LA 20 years now, and I love LA. But Rome, New York, to me is the Roman Empire. And this particular trip, it's almost 3 weeks, which is great. New York is just the most magical place in the world. So.
It is pretty magical. And that was the game. I mean, I knew you'd be great at the game.
It's a pretty good game.
It's a pretty good game.
All right.
I don't know. You're a tough audience for me. Yeah, so.
It's all right. It's all good.
Okay, industry news.
Okay.
Fortune magazine had an article how Milk Bar's first ever funding round could turn the bakery's founder into the next Martha Stewart. That was the title. So, of course, we're talking about Christina Tosi. 9 years Milk Bar since it started, and mm-hmm.
Opening in Los Angeles.
14 locations.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, so more 14. Than that.
So this is the first fundraising. Though,
I say good for her.
I say good for her, too. Yeah. This is RSE Ventures is the sole investor, and they've invested in Resy and mm-hmm. VaynerMedia. And so anyways, I don't know. It's calling her the next Martha Stewart. I don't know. She's amazing, and she's grown this business. I mean, with Momofuku.
Yeah, working with David Chang.
Yeah.
There you go. And everyone's like, what's the crack pie? I think it was the first
yeah,
all the rage.
She still has the crack pie.
Yep.
So,
is there a question to that? Or
no, that was just industry news.
Yeah, it is industry news. And like I said, good for her. And, you know, obviously her being on MasterChef. And well, let's back up and go. Let's just start off by being just a great chef. You know, it all kind mm-hmm. of starts there. And I know I was kind of like, where am I right now? And you said something about the shuffleboard is by Gowanus, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've never been there in my life until I went to Pig Beach for the first time. So let's give a shout out to Matt Abdu because, you know, he ran the kitchen at Del Posto for 8 years. So I think a lot of these people, when everyone thinks overnight success, Pig Beach is such a spectacular barbecue joint. But we were talking the other day and it's like, I don't think that would be what it was if he didn't have that kind of training and all those skills from Team Vitale and Bastianich, you know, running Del Posto to have such a successful barbecue joint now. And same thing with Christina Tosi. Everyone's like, oh, it's overnight and then Master Chef. And she's been in the game a long time.
No, and yeah, she has. And I remember, I have this memory of going to Burger Bash when it was under the Brooklyn Bridge, was probably its second year.
Yeah.
And she was there just as a part of Momofuku, and she was all smiley and nice to see you.
A lot younger,
and,
like all of us.
Yeah, and just really like, I just have this memory of like a nice conversation with her. And, she's done quite well.
Yeah, so I just say to all of that, I say good for her, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Most overnight successes take about 25 years, so, if not longer.
Good point. Okay, another article on Grub Street.
Yeah.
Here's the craziest stuff you'll see at Eataly World, which opens tomorrow, which is actually today. So this is Eataly's long-awaited theme park in Bologna, Italy, which the locals call Fico. Mm-hmm. It's a million-plus square foot experience. And
where you get drenched in Parmigiano Reggiano.
Highlights are all wondrous things about Italian cuisine. Yeah. And it's like an amusement park. And this article points out the crazy stuff. It says you can get in for free, but like everything then costs something to go on rides and stuff.
Sure.
There's 40 different food factories. There's, I don't know, it's 45 different restaurants. I mean, it's a huge thing. And actually, I was in L.A. about a week and a half ago.
Did you make it to Eataly
opening? And I went to the Eataly L.A. opening.
Yeah, I'll be back on Friday. I'm sure the first thing my daughter's going to take me to on Saturday morning is, and I'm going to say, can we go on Monday instead of Saturday? But so you went.
You heard it's the most wondrous thing.
Yeah, I heard it's amazing.
It is amazing. I can't believe I beat you to your local Eataly. Yeah.
I missed Dominic Enzo. I have to go take my daughter for a cronut as well, too. So
did not do that. But my solo dining experience is an L.A. one in honor of you, when we get there.
So you loved it, right? It's beautiful.
I loved it. It's beautiful.
I feel
it's always... It's huge. Because I went to... I've been to quite a few now, and the one downtown in New York City. Like, this one's all... It's two levels, but it's basically almost everything's on the second floor easy to navigate. And then they have some outdoor seating where you then get the Hollywood Hills in the background where you can enjoy your pasta.
Yeah, because it's nice 335 days out of the year. It's 74 and sunny. So
yes.
And you're very close to the beach and you're in Century City. And
yes. So that I've been to. This, I don't know, this Eataly World, if I'm gonna go.
It's, I don't know.
They've spent a long time working on this and... Oh, roughly 3 years, $100 million went into this. I mean, quite a project.
Like I said, it's probably like a flume ride on Parmigiano Reggiano. Instead of going like through the water slide, you just slide through a river of cheese.
All right.
Something like that.
That was also industry news.
What else is industry news?
Well, the other thing I have, you know Chef Franklin Becker, I'm sure.
I sure do.
So he has a dinner on Friday, November 17th, called Taste of Ecuador, and it's raising money for PopEarth.org.
I love Pop Earth. I've done a lot of their events. Hi, Franklin.
Yeah, so Franklin, I just wanted to give a shout out to this event. It's hosted by Franklin Becker and Umberto Gualpa, and it's a delicious evening of Ecuadorian food. They have pastry chef Thiago Silva is also participating. So if people want to go, they're selling tickets on Eventbrite. If you go there and you search for Taste of Ecuador, I'm sure you'll find it. And it should be awesome. So
fantastic. Go Franklin.
Go Franklin. One more break. Come back and do my solo dining experience. And then we have the final question. So stay with us. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. Welcome back to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Sherry Bayer. It's time for my solo dining experience. This week, it's at John and Vinny's.
How good is that joint?
I'm about to tell you. Here's the rundown. Location, 412 North Fairfax Avenue, Los Angeles, California. The concept, it's a relaxed, modern diner for all-day Italian-inspired cuisine, also known as an awesome pizza joint. The chefs, John Shook and Vinny DiTolo. So why'd I go? Because I've heard amazing things about this place forever, and I finally got there.
Yeah.
I needed to get there. So my experience, I had made a reservation for two. None of my LA friends could make it. So I showed up by myself. They were super cool. They have this awesome chef's, it's a counter up front in front of the pizza oven. So it's a great spot for a solo diner. So the hard thing was figuring out what to get, because being solo is very indulgent food. Lots of pastas and pizzas.
Cacio pepes and carbonaras and pizzas and ice cream. It's a great joint, though.
Great joint. So, but I decided I went with something they're known for. They have a pizza called the L.A. Woman, which is local burrata, tomato, basil, olive oil, and sea salt. And then I went with the marinara braised meatballs with ricotta and garlic bread.
So good.
I really also wanted like the gem salad and the pastas, but I did those two.
It's just you. I don't know where you're going to put it. Just me. Where are you putting it all?
I don't know. I did not finish, but I did have a bunch of it. It was delicious. The burrata, it's served cold, which is interesting, but like, I don't know. You pick up the slice and you start eating it. It just melts all over, and it was quite delicious. The meatballs were also awesome. So, I see why people like it. The ambiance, it's a casual, narrow space that's high energy. And when you follow the booths to the back, there is a little wine shop in the back. It's called Helen's Wines, right by the bathrooms, which
lots
I discovered
of rosé there for sure.
So I'd say it's perfect for indulgent Italian eats. Interesting tidbit, John and Vinny were honored with Food & Wine Magazine's Best New Chefs 2009, which I was in Aspen that year. I'm sure you were too. Maybe we hung out. Personal fun fact, several years ago when I was in LA, I had gone to Son of a Gun and Animal. I went solo. It was another solo trip of mine. And I remember going to Animal right when the doors open at 6 o'clock. I went in and I was like, I need to eat and catch a plane, because I did. I had a red eye coming back, and that was also delicious, very foie gras heavy. The cost of this meal was $45.87. That's including tax, and they have an 18% service charge. Would I go back? Obviously would. I'd like to go back with someone who, next time I'm in LA, so I can try more things. And their website's johnandvinnies.com. So there. It's time for the final question.
Final question, Sherry.
My next guest Jonas Anderson. He's the general manager of Great Northern Food Hall, which is part of Meijer's USA Hospitality Group, which was founded by Danish culinary entrepreneur Klaus Meijer. Mm-hmm. And so I'm having on Jonas. What would you like to ask him?
Where is the food hall?
Is this for Jonas or for me?
No, it's for Jonas. Well, but you're supposed to tell me. You said, what is it, the something-something food hall?
It's the Great Northern Food Hall. It's in Grand Central.
Oh, it's here. It's in New York.
It's here in New York City. It was founded by Klaus Meijer, who's from Denmark. He's a co-founder of NOMA.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
so
part of...
So this is something new they're putting together at Grand Central Market?
No, it exists already. You've now heard of it.
Downstairs where all the restaurants are?
No, it's in Vanderbilt Hall. Have you you know they have Ager in there now, which is it's a full service restaurant. And behind it, you know where the clock is in Grand Central?
Yes, right.
And you walk from there towards 42nd Street.
Okay.
In that space then on your right.
Okay.
Check it out. It's the Great Northern Food Hall.
The lower levels where Shake Shack is and all that.
That still's there. So this is its own.
And the oyster bars on the lower level,
Right. This is its own. And they have a few different areas.
Okay.
There's a bakery. They've changed it up a bit. So I can ask him where it is, but I've already answered that. Would you like to?
I'm like, first question. And I'm supposed to ask him a question.
Well, you're from L.A. You don't expect to know everything about New York City. And it's good I taught you something.
You did teach me something. What's it called again? The what food hall? I mean, that's going to be my first question.
The Great Northern Food Hall.
And why is it called the Great Northern Food Hall?
That's a good question.
That is my question.
You have it.
Why is it
final
called the
question.
Is it in the northern corner? But technically, I think it's in the southern corner if you're facing north, because it's closer to 42nd Street.
It's in the west. It's in the southwest corner of Grand Central.
Yeah, and if he's from Copenhagen, Denmark area, that's why I first thought it was like, is this like the Northern Lights or the Northern something or whatever? That's my question. Why do they call it the Great Northern Food Hall? Is that the name, the Great Northern Food Hall?
That is the name, okay. And that's a fantastic question.
That's my question.
And we'll have to go there. I'll take you to lunch.
Next time. We will lunch
time.
For sure.
Yeah. We're down. We'll invite Joe. We'll all hang out. We'll have a reunion. Okay, so that's the show.
That's it?
You got to go to a dinner,
I got to go see Scott Conant. So I'm going to end with that, and I will give a plug, because people do ask about the next dinner. So it's very simple. Just go to BillyHarris.com. Join the mailing list, and then you know about all the dinners when we're in L.A. next year and the rest of the country.
Yeah, and your social media, You're at Billy Harris. You're
on the Twitter.
The Billy Harris.
Instagram, because Billy Harris, who I don't know, looks like a very talented tattoo artist in North Carolina. And maybe he wants to switch names, but he's Billy Harris. I'm the Billy Harris. And then you can find me on Facebook as well for all of it. And everything else is on BillyHarris.com. Thanks, Sherry.
Thank you. I just, again, want to just say I'm in awe of your just whole career and that you have turned your natural ability to work a room into this success. And just, thank you for doing what you do, because I don't know anyone who could do what you do. I mean, I know lots of the chefs. I know people involved in New Kid Hungry. But what you do is so unique and really, really raises so much money for these great causes.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Thank you, Sherry.
You're welcome.
See you later.
See you later.
For episode number 229, when we come back again.
I don't know. Maybe I can go on Hanging with Harris.
Maybe. We'll go into the kitchen here at Roberta's.
Yes. Okay.
All right, I'm going to Scott Conant's right now.
Okay, so I'm closing up. I've been talking to Billy Harris. You know where to find him, BillyHarris.com.
Mm-hmm.
Find me at Sherry Bayer, at Bayer PR, at All Industry. My Facebook page is All in the Industry. My website's BayerPublicRelations.com and SherryBayer.com. All of our shows are archived at HeritageRadioNetwork.org, and we are on iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks to my engineer, Vitor, who makes this whole thing work. And next week is Thanksgiving, so happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
We are off the air next week, so my next show is going to be November 29th, again at 4 o'clock. And
With the Great Northern Food Hall.
Yes, you'll have to tune in to find out why it's named that. And thank you, Billy.
Thanks, Sherry.
I'm Sherry Bayer, and thank you all for listening. This has been All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Bye.
for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.